So do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
The biggest hit that I took in my life was my son's autism diagnosis. But this may not be the story you're expecting to hear. This is not a story about grief about the things my son can't do. Instead, it's about how I have fought the expectations that people have for him that are too low. People see the label and they set their expectations way too low for him. And that's what I keep fighting. So I've heard it called the belief gap between what people are capable of and then where people think they are just because of a label. So let me tell you a little bit about my family. So my husband's name is Mike. We have two kids. My son is 11 years old now, and we also have a daughter who's 8 years old now. So my son, when did we know he was different? Basically from the delivery room. So the nurses picked him up, cleaned him up, got the mucus and the blood out of his lungs. But they were just taken with how he looked at them. He had this sweetness and this presence, even as a newborn. And I don't know, some of y'all are parents, there's a feeling when you first hold your child and this intensity you feel, you want them to have the best possible future. And It's the most intense feeling. You will do anything for them. You will fight for them, and that's from the beginning. So we came home from the hospital, and I'm trying to breastfeed, trying to get his mouth on there, right? And it wasn't going quite right, and I was freaking out. So thankfully, my mom lives in town, and she went to the baby store and got a breast pump, and we were off to the races. So, but the point of this is that my son he's a big, healthy, active kid. So we just picture he's 11, he's almost as tall as I am, and he grew really fast when he was an infant. So thank goodness for the breast pump. What I found out later was that his mouth not quite getting it, that actually can be a sign of autism. And it's those little things, he was just a few days old and he was already different, but I was gonna find a way to make it work. So when he was a toddler, one of the great things about him is that he would try and try and try and just never give up until he got it. And whether it was picking up a ring or rolling over, pulling up on something, learning to walk, he just would never give up. And that gave me a great feeling of pride, because I think in life, that's a great quality. If you set your sights on a goal and you just keep trying and you don't give up, and I feel like he already had that even as a really young kid. Sometimes that is considered a bad quality. So if, let's say a child is in school and they're doing something they love and the teacher says, okay, time's up, time for the next unit, and child doesn't want to transition. So that's one of the things where something that serves you well in life might not serve you well in school. That's kind of the story of our lives lately. One of the things he was fascinated about was letter shapes, letter sounds. So when he was three, he grabbed some sidewalk chalk and do the alphabet on the sidewalk, each letter about this tall. He did it once. He's like, I'm done. I showed you. I can do the alphabet. He taught himself how to read when he was four. He was just really fascinated with words and sounds and how to read. So now, when he was about two, a friend of mine wrote a blog post about her son going into speech therapy, and she said, okay, well, this was his vocabulary. And I'm expanding my hands. Radio people, I'm raising my this is what a vocabulary would be for a typical two-year-old. And I remember thinking, okay, well, how many words does my son use with me? And I kind of ran down a list. I was like, oh, he's fine. What I didn't realize was that he used those words with me, but he wasn't using those words for people outside the family. In fact, when he was at preschool, he never talked. I'm like, wait, what? He doesn't talk at preschool, really? So it's just a matter of perspective. I thought I knew what autism was, but in my mind, I was thinking about severe autism, like people who are nonverbal, or people who have a great difficulty reading emotions in other people. And my son is a very loving person. He's always very patient with his younger sister, who has a younger sibling, right? He's very patient with her. He has strong bonds with me and my mom and my sister and people in our family. And then looking at our extended family, nobody else in the family has a formal autism diagnosis, but we're kind of oddballs, right? We, you know, and there's traits that looking back, I think, oh yeah, well, my grandfather didn't talk until he was 3 years old. You know, just things you put the pieces together later. So when my son was about 2, the in-laws came to visit, and then they for a long weekend, and they left. And then the next morning, I checked in with my husband, and he'd been stayed up all night on Dr. Google, freaking himself out. And I needed to kind of talk him down from that. So, and this, we looked at this situation very differently. I have always had an unshakable faith that my son had great potential. But people would come to me and say, well, maybe they'll find a cure. Like, cure? I don't want to cure him. I like him the way he is. I want him to function in society, but I don't want to cure him. I don't need sympathy. He's my son. I love him. But my husband and I had a lot of conflict about how to deal with this. I resisted getting the autism diagnosis, and I was wrong. But what I was afraid of was that once he had the diagnosis and had the label, that people would lower their expectations for him. And that was exactly what happened. My fears came true. I wound up withdrawing my son from kindergarten, and it was one of the most painful and bitter experiences of my life. He had teachers who thought he was just dumb. There were parents who wouldn't invite the special ed kids to birthday parties. I just wanted people to have faith in me that I knew my son and I was gonna do what he needed to do. So I wound up homeschooling, and there were people who didn't think I could do it. So I was like, all right, I'll go visit some private schools, see what's going on. A lot of private schools don't want to deal with kids in special education. I just kept fighting for my son. So it turned out to be a good year of homeschooling. We went out in the community, we visited lots of different places. He went into lots of stressful situations and learned to cope with it, learned to interact with people, learned how to deal with his anxiety around crowds. And we had a great year. You know, that's actually getting the diagnosis was hard to deal with, though. He's in a much better situation now. He's at a school where they do have high expectations for him. He's doing the same rigorous work that the other students at the school are doing. He's just come such a long way, and I never gave up on him, but to see other people see his potential is very fulfilling for me. This experience changed my career. Through my blogging, I advocate for people who are experiencing the belief gap. Like, just because of a label, don't set your expectations down here, okay? Look at everybody's potential and see where they can go, because there's a lot of untapped potential out there. Thank you.